Please, I want to hear you. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to see you this morning in church. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn to the brother or sister sitting next to you and say, my dear, it was the best decision you made today to come to the presence of the Lord. Amen. How many of you are excited to be in his presence this morning? Amen. Because anytime we come to his presence, he always meets us at the point of our need, and he comes to bless us. Amen. This morning, I believe God has a word for each and every one of us. But before we go into the word, maybe I'll just quickly stress on the International Sunday so that we all get ourselves ready for it. It's a church event we have put together by the inspiration of the Lord to be able to celebrate all the different nationalities we have in this place. He has put all of us together to become one body, but we also want to be able to say that even though we come from all the different nations in the world, we are one in him. Amen. So on that day, I want you to come dressed in your best native clothes. And I want you to... Okay, so someone is scared of his native clothes because he knows if he puts it on, we might probably run. Please come with something that is modest, something that pleases the Lord. Amen. Now I've qualified it. Amen. And on the International Sunday, our running theme is maybe the scripture first, Revelation 7, verse 9 to 10. He said, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Amen. So even as you picture what is going to happen when the Lord comes, we want to start seeing it here as we gather together on the International Sunday. Amen. So please dress your best. Come with food. Amen. Food from your nationality. I'll be going around to taste food from every nationality. So please make sure you come with your best food. And I'll be grading and scoring. So make sure you're not last. Yeah, so drinks as well. Also, from next week, if you have any drinks you want to contribute to International Sunday, we'll put a box in front. When you come, just bring it and drop it in so that on the day we'll have the drinks set up ready to go even before the service starts. So that it's not on the main event, that's when we're trying to rush drinks and put them in. So if you have any drinks you want to contribute to it, you just bring it on Sunday ahead of International Sunday and we'll pack it all. And I've said this already, please put on your clothes, your national clothes. Please look on the screen if you're... nationality is not represented there, please come and talk to me quickly after church. If you don't see yours there, please talk to me as soon as possible after church. Also, we are taking flags of all the different nationalities. We want to start hanging them early before the International Sunday. If yours is not with us, please make sure you bring it in latest by next week, Sunday, and hand it over to Weldes. Weldes, please stand to your feet so that everyone will see you. So when you bring your flag in, please give it to that man in the corner, that handsome gentleman in the corner. Amen. All right. Okay. So try and invite your friends, your family. We have a poster that we started putting on the pages. Please share it around. Invite your friends, people that have not been to church in a long while. Send it to them and say, I want to invite you to this gathering and your life is going to be blessed. Amen. It will be a time where we'll worship the Lord together and have a good time in his presence. So please mark it on your calendar, 31st of May. Don't trade it for anything in the world. Amen. Make sure you are here on that day and your life will be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So now let's go into the word. I want you to grab the hand of the person sitting by you. Let's share a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We thank you for a gathering like this. The Bible says that unto you shall the gathering of the people be. We thank you, Lord, that you call us your own. We pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you will feed us this morning with your word and with knowledge. In the name of Jesus. You said that in the last day, you will give us pastors who will feed us with knowledge and with understanding. Lord, this morning, let your word go forth. Let it feed us with knowledge and understanding. Let us live here with our hearts revived and charged up for you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I am continuing a message I preached. The last time I preached, if you were here, I preached a message on the unity of the Spirit. And today, I'm doing a part two of it. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians 3, he said something to them that, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, to write the same things to you, for me, it is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. So Paul was basically telling them that, if I have to repeat the same things to you over and over and over and over and over, I am not grieving and I'm not tired doing that. It is for your safety. Why? Because the more we repeat it, the more you're able to understand it. The more we repeat it, the more you're able to catch it. And if you're able to catch it, you're able to run with it. You're able to live your life with it. Amen. So if it happens that this is what I'm going to preach for the rest of the year, if God impresses on my heart to talk about the same thing the whole year, it is because he wants you to understand it. And he wants us to walk in unity. Amen. But this morning, I'm going to take it from Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Now, the Bible says that Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, and he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel. He says, I may hear of your state, that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel. It's important that as believers, we understand this. So just a recap of what we spoke about the very first time. Forget about the slide. It's a very busy slide. I decided to put everything together because this is from the last message. If you were not here, please go back and listen to it. This is just a recap so that we can take off from it. Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, will all overcome it. And from our previous sermon, we learned about the dual nature of the church of God as being the bride and also being the army of the Lord. So in Ephesians 5, we got to know that the church of God is the bride of Christ, that he gave himself up so that he will be able to present that bride to himself as a glorious church. Amen. But when you go into Revelation 19, where now we see Christ coming down again, the Bible says that that bride had been given white robes to wear. And he says in verse 14, that as Jesus was coming, the armies of heaven, they were dressed in the finest of pure white linen, which we learn from the verse 7, that these were believers, the bride of Christ. He says that his bride has prepared himself, verse 8, he was given the finest of pure white linen to wear. So we understood from the last time that the church of God has that dual nature of being the bride and also being an army. It was important for us to know that because if we understand that we are soldiers, then Ephesians 6, as we studied from the previous time, will make sense when he says we should put on the whole armor. But he didn't just say we should put it on and stand there. He says that so that we'll be able to withstand all the oppressions and withstand all the attacks of the enemy. And in verse 18, which was the emphasis, he says that so that we can pray with all kinds of prayers in the spirit. And we ended it up in Philippians, where we spoke about him saying that we should pray, we should present all our requests before God, and the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. Why? Because Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3, which was our anchor, told us that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit, binding our hearts together with cords of peace. And we said that for us to be able to bind our hearts together with cords of peace, then we need to do what Philippians was saying, that we need to be constantly praying, because it is in the prayer that he says that the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. Make sense? Now we're going to take off from there. So if you were not here the last time, at least we've given you a foundation so that you can work on with us. Let's go into Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28 again. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So he's basically telling us that there is a template. As believers, Paul is writing to the church and he's saying, hey, church in Philippi, I want all of you collectively, your manner of life, the way you live your lives, the way you behave, I want it to be worthy. The template is that it must be as the gospel of Christ. Amen. And he's saying that so that whether I am in your midst or whether I am absent, I will hear of your state. It's like Pastor Jerry telling us that, look, having heard all these things, for coming into this church Sunday after Sunday and everything that you've heard, now I'm traveling, I'm going to America for 1 year. But what I want to leave you with is that I want your manner of life as Maranatha to be worthy of the gospel of Christ, which you've been hearing from the pulpit Sunday after Sunday. So that while I am still in America, I will hear testimonies that the church is still strong and standing. We are living the lives that is worthy of the gospel. Amen. And he says that in verse 28, in nothing are frightened by the adversaries, which is for them an evident token of perdition, but of your salvation, and that from God. What I want to do is that I want to take my time and then look at the verse 27. I'm preaching only from the verse 27. So please make sure you have that scripture in mind as we go on. The first thing he's talking about is that he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so we know that the template he's looking at is that the life that we live should be worthy of the gospel. So that if you as an individual, you examine yourself and you look at your life and you pick the word of God and you say, okay, I am examining myself in light of the word of God. The way I'm living my life, if I trace it to the word of God, can I see what I'm living, the way I'm living my life? Can it be traced back to the word of God? If not, then you need to check it. So he says that the template is that the life should be worthy of the gospel. Amen. And in trying to do that, I'm going to talk about three things. Your manner of life, he says that that life should be worthy. And then it should be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So I'm just going to touch on these three things. The reason why I want to break it down is that when you just look at the English and you read over it like this, you won't really know what Paul was talking about. If you take time and you look at it from the original Greek context, you see that Paul was actually trying to give us an imagery that if we understand, we will become active seekers of the Lord nonstop, and we will yearn nonstop to keep our unity in this house. Amen. So let's quickly go on. Your manner of life. The Greek word that actually he puts there, it means that you need, I'm not going to mention the Greek word anyway. It's kind of a big word, but I just want to explain it to you. It says to fulfill your duties as a citizen of a state. So if you are not careful and you look at it, you only think your manner of life as though how you live your life at home and everything. But the context actually is that to fulfill your duties as a citizen of a state. So basically, he's trying to tell them that the way you live your life, the way you fulfill your duty as a citizen of the state, this state herein being the state or the empire of God that we have become part of, is to live a life that is templated after the gospel of Christ. Amen. So it means he wasn't just talking about only a behavior that you think, oh, this is how I want to live my life. He's saying you have become a citizen. So he's talking to citizens. And in those Greco-Roman, like historical places, when they hear a word like this, a Roman colony like Philippi, as soon as they hear things talked about citizenship, the other thing that comes to mind is military loyalty. So even as young men, when you are telling them that they are supposed to fulfill their duties as citizens of the state, you are basically telling them that, God forbid, but if war should happen right now, all the men are taking arms and we are defending the colony. That is the mentality that Paul was trying to give the church in Philippi. To say that the manner of life you live is a life that is ready to, quote unquote, take arms and defend the gospel. Does that make sense? So it's not like just talking about your day-to-day living. He's talking about a life which is ever ready and prepared to live the gospel out and defend it in its totality and in its entirety. And that is the kind of life God wants you and I to live. So, this is the part that blew my mind when I was studying it. He says that let that life be worthy. If you only look at the English word, when we say, oh, something is worthy, what comes to mind? There are no English scholars in this place. If we say, oh, this thing is worthy of something. Yeah. So someone says deserving, which is true. So he's saying that the life we live, we should live it such that anyone looking at it will be able to agree that of a truth, your life is actually deserving of the gospel that you have believed in. But do you know that when you look at the word that the English actually translated as worthy, if you go and study the root very carefully, it was actually saying, bring down the scale. So, As soon as you see that, what Paul was literally trying to tell you is that I am taking you into the Philippi marketplace where there is a scale where we used to weigh things. In those times, before coins were actually minted, before they pay, you pay someone. So say, let's say Siva has something I want to get from him and I want to pay him. The only way we had to pay was that we put the scale down and we put precious metals on the side. And then we weigh the money on the other side. The precious metals were the standard. We will keep putting on until it levels out. When it's able to level out the precious metals on the side and we have balanced it, we say that now what we put on is worthy of the precious metals because they've balanced out. So this is what he was telling them. And he's saying that the life we live should be worthy of the gospel. Basically trying to tell us that God has put the gospel on one side of the scale. And now he's telling us as a church, we need to live our lives in such a way that as the Holy Spirit is working through us, it is not only bringing the scale down, but now the lives we are living is such that because it is the same Spirit at work inside of us, it balances out the scale. So that when people come in here and they are looking at us, all they are seeing is a reflection of the gospel on one side of the scale inside of us as well. If we understand this, then anytime you're living your life, your template is this. You are checking this before you take decisions. You don't take decisions ahead of this. God wants us to do it on the individual level. When we catch it on the individual level and we bring it together, we form a strong community of believers that is able to take the world up for God. Amen. Amen. So, he says that our lives should be worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is the last one I'm explaining. So, one thing you need to understand about the gospel of Christ is that when Jesus hung on the cross, he opened up a vertical and a horizontal relationship for you and I. In the sense that when he hung on the cross, he made a way for us to be reconciled back to God. This is what scripture teaches. And beyond that also, he also made a way to reconcile humanity back to himself. You read in Ephesians 2, where he tells us that there is no longer any division between us because he himself, he has broken the enmity that was between us. The Jews, who call themselves the circumcised, look at the rest of us and said, all of you pagans, heathens, we have nothing to do with you. We are the circumcised, the chosen of God. But Christ came and by his own blood, the Bible says he has abolished that enmity so that inside of himself, he has pulled the two of us together to form one new man. So he did not only come to make new creations, you and I, he came to also make one new man, which is bringing all of us together to form the body of Christ. That is the power of the gospel. So it is important that you understand the gospel for you, that it is meant to save you and make you a new creation, but also understand the gospel from the context that now he has pulled all of us together to become one new man. We have become part of his body. And so in trying to fulfill the gospel agenda, we need to understand that even as we have been reconciled with heaven, we also need to make sure that we are growing together because the Bible says we have become members one of another. So it is not only important that you alone are growing. If you are growing and the rest of us are not growing, trouble. Because the body must grow together so that, I'll go there shortly, so that you understand why you need to watch out for each other. If there is someone in your department you are not seeing from time to time, why we need to check up on the person. And make sure that everyone is growing. If the devil is trying to sow seeds of discord, why we need to understand that we need to strive for the faith of the gospel and keep pressing on and going. Amen. So, the reason why this is important is that we need to understand that the gospel, I call it the word of the Spirit. The scripture actually calls it the soul of the Spirit. Jesus was talking in John 6 and he says that it is the Spirit that gives life. He says that the flesh counts for nothing. And he says, the words that I have spoken to you, they are two things. They are what? They are full of what? And life. So full of spirit and life. So anytime you contact the word of God, gospel, Two things you need to contact, the spirit, and you need to contact life. Amen. And in 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, and 5, he says that, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And he says, because, this is Paul speaking, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how you lived up, and you know how we lived among you for your sake. So anytime the gospel comes, it comes with power and it comes with the Holy Spirit. The reason why I brought this up is because we are talking about the unity of the Spirit. Anywhere the gospel is, the Holy Spirit is there. And we need to come with that consciousness that he is there to unite us, because he said that by one Spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. So if we don't get this understanding that he has called us from all the different places to become one people, baptized by the same Spirit, to press on together, not as solo rangers, not as individual Christians. It's good for us to grow on the individual level, but he wants us to grow on the collective level. And sometimes what the enemy tries to do is that he knows there are people that have understood these things and they are pressing on. So his target will be like, okay, let me go for people who have not really understood it. Because if I'm able to weaken their fold, then I'll be able to go amongst them and sow discord, sow confusion. And if he's able to do that, instead of focusing on the major things and pressing on, we begin to focus on things that do not really matter and do not really bless us. Amen. The reason why I'm talking about this is because of this. What is that manner of life that he wants us to live? The manner of life he wants us to live is still in the verse 27. He said that, so that whether I am absent or I am with you, I will hear of your state. I will hear of the manner and the way of life you are living, which is that you stand fast in one spirit. This is where I'm coming to, and this is what I want you to catch. Beloved, we live in a time where the enemy's agenda is that he doesn't want the church of God to stand in one spirit, because he knows that if we catch this, he's in trouble. And you will understand it shortly why I'm saying this. I've already spoken about the scale analogy, so I'm just not going to waste time on this. Because in the scale analogy, I've already explained this, how the coin, the scale is used to be able to check and see whether things are standing firm by using a standard. And in our case, the gospel has become our standard. So I'm not going to go much into this again. But what I want to draw your attention to is Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this scripture carefully. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It's a scripture that I think it's a common scripture that people know. Anyone knows Ephesians 4, verse 11? And he gave some. Anyone? My Bible scholars. Amen. I'm going to read it for you. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read the whole thing. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Verse 13, he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. He says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. If you don't catch anything at all, this is what I want you to catch. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. He's basically trying to tell us that within his church, he has given us all these leaders, and the whole goal is that they are supposed to equip us. Equip us not to sit down. Equip us so that we will work. He says that he has given us all these people to train us to do the work of ministry. It is very important that we get it. And he also says that for the building up of the body. Beloved, when we are actively working for the Lord, we are actively building up the body of Christ. Amen. When we are serving in the house of God, when we are going out there and talking to people about the love of God, we are actively pursuing the agenda of building. Amen. And we have a template, which is the gospel. If you have it, and if you are living your life by it, and collectively we all understand this, and we are working together with this, because we are supposed to attain to the unity of the faith, then we'll be making a good headway, because he told us that we should be striving for, anyone remembers? Verse 27, our anchor scripture. It says we should strive. He says we should strive for the faith of the gospel. Amen. So Paul is trying to tell them that the state or life you're supposed to live is a life where we all stand together, just like on the scale, the gospel is here. But if you put all of us together, because we have the same understanding and the way we are living our lives, it matches exactly what the gospel of Christ is saying. And the whole intent and the reason is that so that we'll be able to strive for the faith of the gospel. If you are living it out well, your next attention and agenda will be that I want to strive for the faith of the gospel. So that if a brother amongst us is weak, we will all try and help and strengthen that brother, because we are all making sure that we are united in purpose and we are striving for the faith of the gospel. What will make it make more sense to you is this one. The military analogy. When Paul also wrote this same thing, when you look at that same scripture, when he says, stand fast in one spirit, any person around that time reading this will straight away catch the military intent behind it to say, what Paul is literally trying to tell you is that hold your ground at all costs. Soldiers of the Lord, do not move ground. Do not break rank. Do not retreat a single inch. For these Roman soldiers, the shields that they carried was developed such that in a time of war, they could literally put their shields together and it forms a strong wall, impenetrable wall for anyone to break. So the danger is that imagine we are in a formation where we have all our shields stuck together to form an impenetrable wall. And I decide that I don't want to fight again. And I just get out of the formation. Do you know what has happened? I have literally exposed the entire army and the entire formation for the enemy. Because now when they are coming, they are like, oh, there is a loophole there. This is where we need to attack from. And it is the same thing the enemy tries to do. When the enemy is trying to attack the church, when the enemy is trying to disturb the church, he's basically looking at the formation saying, where is the rank broken? Who has left the rank? Where can I penetrate? And that is what God doesn't want each and every one of us to become. He wants us to have this mindset that we do not break rank. We are all striving. We are striving for the faith of the gospel. So we stay in rank. We stay at all costs, no matter what. No matter what the enemy throws at you, whether it be sickness, whether it be ill health, challenges in your finances, you are like, I am going to stand my ground. I am going to keep the faith. And we're going to strive together for the faith of the gospel. So I want you to turn to your brother or your sister sitting by you and say that, I need you. Is it difficult for you to say? The reason why we need to understand that we need each other is that we are fighting in the army of the Lord as a collective. God is not calling lone rangers to go and fight. He is calling us as an army. If the church of God, if Maranatha will march forward, we need to get this understanding that we have to march together as an army in prayer. We all lift up prayer together. We pray for each other. We study the word of God together, and we are pressing on together. If someone is weak, someone is tired in our midst, we strengthen and encourage them, and we all press on together. Amen. So, the goal is that we need to strive side by side for the faith of the gospel. I like this. When you look at the Greek word, striving for the faith of the gospel, just that word, striving, It's actually a compound Greek word that says striving side by side or contending side by side. So it's an army where when I turn to my left, I know there is another soldier to my left. To my right, there's another soldier, so that we are all fighting side by side. My encouragement is that I am not fighting alone. As I am fighting, there is also another soldier to my left who has the same mindset and is fighting. So I am not fighting for me. I am fighting for us. Because if I lose my ground, it affects everybody. If you lose your ground, it affects all of us. We live in a culture where we have been We are so used to seeing things on social media about me, myself, and I that even sometimes we tend to bring it to church where we think, oh, I come to church, I hear the word of God, I go and live my life alone. It is not about living your life alone. I keep telling people that if God was only just interested in saving you and keeping you there and not making you part of the fold, as soon as he saved you, he would have whisked you to heaven. He wouldn't have waited for you to stay here. But he wants you to be part of the body, grow in the body, work in the body, so that ultimately you understand God's intent, that he is raising a bride that is well prepared to also be an army that will fight with his son. Is someone catching it? Yes. Tap someone sitting to you and say, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Amen. Now, just trying to end it. What you need to understand when he says we need to strive for the faith of the gospel in our quest to attain the unity of the faith, because the end goal is that he says we should measure up to the fullness of Christ. And in doing that, he says that we need to have, we need to attain unto the unity of the faith, so that the same faith is at work in all of us. We come to that understanding cognitively and inside of our hearts and in our spirits that this is what we are doing, this is what we have believed, and this is what we will live for. When the Bible actually says we should strive for the faith of the gospel, he's basically trying to tell us that do not move away from the hope of the gospel. Because anyone remembers Hebrews 11? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So you always see faith and hope working together. He says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope refers to the things that are unseen. I've spoken about this before. Things that are reserved in the heavenlies, unseen things reserved in the heavenlies, in God for you and I. But he says that faith is the substance of those things. So I have not seen them yet, but what makes me go away knowing that, oh yes, I have it, is faith. Knowing that he says that I am above and never beneath. Even though I am not seeing it yet, but because he has promised, I go with my chest up like this, knowing that so far as God has said it, it is a reserve inside of him for me and I believe it. So for faith to actually work, you should not lose hope. As soon as you lose hope, it will be very difficult for you to also have faith, because then where is the faith? The substance you are having is of the hope. So if there is no hope, where then is the faith? So if he says we should strive for the faith of the gospel, he's basically trying to tell us that at no circumstance and at no cost should we ever run away from the hope of the gospel we have believed. You have come to believe that Jesus saves. You have come to believe that Jesus transformed. You have come to believe that at the end of the age, we will be like him and we will live with him. He says that at no point and under no circumstance, under no struggle, under no difficulty, should you ever come to the place where you are like, I am giving up on this hope. Because as soon as you give up on this hope, trouble, you are giving up on the faith. You are not striving for the faith again. And if you are not striving for the faith, remember the army formation I was telling you. If you give up on the faith and you begin to retreat, you are affecting all of us. So in our quest to get to the unity of the faith, we need to understand that this gospel we have come to believe, it is true. The hope of the gospel that he has told us about, it is true. If we can keep holding on to that promises he has made, then our faith will be strong and sure. So that when the enemy is trying to tell you to doubt everything God has promised in his gospel, you are like, I am more than convinced that he that has promised, he is faithful to his word to deliver. Amen. And you not give the enemy any place and you do not give him any footstool. So Colossians 1:21-23, we're just about to end. He says, and you who were once alienated and hostile in your mind, doing evil deeds. He says that you, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Indeed, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. How? By not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. So the enemy will try anything to make sure that you lose hope in the gospel, to make you think that the gospel is just a fable. It's just stories. Oh, Jesus said he was going to come. If he was going to come by now, he would have come. This is what the world says. But are you also going to toe that same line and say, well, actually, it's been over 2,000 years and we've not seen him. Is it really true? What have you believed? Do you believe that Jesus is alive? When he said, I go to prepare a place for you and I'll come again for you, do you believe that? If you have this understanding on the individual level, then you will be so grounded. And when we are all grounded and we come in here with that same mindset, we know that we are marching to that place and we all keep our rank and we keep our ground. That way we will be able to keep on pressing on to the unity of the faith. Amen. So, we are not meant to stand alone. Tell your brother, you are not meant to stand alone. Amen. Our strength is found in our collective readiness. So the goal is that we have to come to the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man. But it requires that you as an individual, you see, one of the things that God used the gospel to do is that he personalized the gospel so that he will be able to save you. And now he's universalizing you so that he'll be able to form the body of Christ. That's what I make. Did it make sense? So he took the gospel and personalized it so that he can save you. Inside of the gospel, he customized it to meet your needs so that you're like, of a truth, I need Jesus. But having done that, now what he's trying to do is that he's trying to give you that universal mindset to think that the church of God is not only me. The temple of God is not only Emmanuel. The temple of God is all of us taking our place in the body. So that with that universal mindset, we will begin to work for him. Amen. Amen. So we must therefore continue in the faith. Tell your brother sitting next to you that continue in the faith. Amen. So we need to continue in the faith, and at all costs, we need to strive for the faith of the gospel. We need to strive for it. No matter what happens to you, beloved, that thing you are praying for that you've not seen answers, don't let that be a distraction. Don't let that sway you away thinking that the gospel doesn't work. The gospel still works, and God is still in the business of answering people's prayers. Amen. So do not lose hope. Keep pressing on in the faith. Amen. And he that has promised, he is faithful to his word. Turn to your brother and say, do not lose hope, even as we end. Turn to someone else and say, do not lose hope. And it's important because even as I end, he says that I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail or overcome the church. If we are strong like this and we are working in faith and we keep the unity and we are holding each other's hands, the enemy will not find any gap, any loophole to penetrate the church. If we do this, the church of God will be strong. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please close your eyes. Let's share a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have washed us with your word this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, help us. Help us to be a people that are willing to walk in unity, endeavoring to maintain the unity of the Spirit day and night, that this church will be a strong church, a church that is united, united in word, knit together by love, bound together with cords of peace. In the name of Jesus, that Lord, we will not allow the enemy to use confusion, allow the enemy to sow seeds of discord amongst us, but we will love one another. We will care for one another. We will serve each other. We will work in your house that the body of Christ will be built. We thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. In Jesus' precious name, we've prayed with thanksgiving. And God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you for coming. We will take our offerings. So, please, we'll take our offerings and tithes. The worship team, please come upstage again. God bless you for coming and